Nobody covers dog sledding like Mushing from First Paw Media. Our team of athletes, volunteers, race organizers, and mushers like Robert and Michelle Forto brings you closer to the sport. If it's happening, we are there. Live from the qualifying races in January and February, the Iditarod in March, and in the summer, Mushing takes you on the road with our team and trail tour. We connect you with a history of the sport, in-depth interviews with the top mushers, and great storytelling and breaking news all year long. Follow on Mushing.com.
Hello and welcome everybody to the Mushing Podcast. I am Robert and I am sitting in the living room with Taylor Squires. We're here in the middle of nowhere, according to me, Minnesota. Taylor, how's it going today?
It's going well. I'm doing great.
Well, thank you for joining us on the show. It's an awesome spot you have here. I have not been over in this neck of the woods on a dog sled in probably 30 years. Tell us a little about where you're at and what brings you here.
Yeah, we're in Nashwauk, Minnesota. We're technically in the Iron Range of Minnesota. And we're out here. We moved out here to have our small kennel and get into mid-distance mushing.
All right. So we're going to jump right into this since this is our Inside Mushing Podcast. What is your favorite race and why?
That's a great question. There's a lot of really great races. And I haven't done any sled races yet, but as far as dry land races go, I really enjoyed Doty's Dusty dry land race, as well as Dirty Dog, Red Paw's Dirty Dog out in Wisconsin.
And what makes those special?
They're just hosted really well. They're put on really well by great people. They're very safe, and they have some good competition.
And for folks that are listening, the mushing scene in the upper Midwest here, especially over in Wisconsin and Michigan, is off the chain. The guys have tons of races. Pretty much every weekend, you guys can go to a different race, almost like a mini circuit. Why do you think that dry land, in particular right now today, is so popular up here?
Yeah, I think dry land is easier to get into, and so a lot of folks who don't have large kennels, they can still do these sports with just one or two dogs, as well as some of those bigger kennels that have multiple dogs. They're able to do some of those bigger four and six dog classes, and so there's just a lot of flexibility with dry land mushing.
And you guys are, in that region anyway, hosted by a very well-known club there, the Wisconsin Trailblazers. They've been around for many years. And what's interesting about that club compared to a lot of other clubs is they're statewide. So they don't just put on clubs in their little town or region, but they have races all over the state, don't they?
They do, yeah. There's, I don't even know how many. There's so many, but like you said, one every weekend almost. So
yep.
We're busy.
So, Taylor, you have what is most often described as a micro kennel, just a handful of dogs here. You don't have 50 or 60 dogs like a big tour kennel or anything like that. I would love if you could share a story about one of your dogs.
Sure. I can share a story about my dog Ezio. You met him coming in. He is a Siberian Husky. He's actually a rescue that came over from Qatar, like the Saudi Arabia area. And I got him through a friend who was running a rescue at the time. And he has become a phenomenal sled dog. He might not be able to do some of the longer distances, but he's a really great lead dog. And so one of the first times I took him out, I had him with another experienced Siberian Husky. And we were running a loop at night at a local park that I had done with him. So I guess I take that back. It was the second time running that loop. I had run it with him once before, and I was running it with another dog, that Siberian Husky Zelda. And it was dark. We were running with a group. My headlamp went out, and I ended up flipping over my handlebars. The gang line got wrapped up. And because of that, I got left behind. The group didn't notice that I wasn't with them. And so we were making all of these turns in the dark, and I didn't know which way we were supposed to go, but Ezio remembered which ways to take from just running that trail once. At towards the end of the trail, there was one turn where we either needed to take a left or a right, and I told him to go left, and he was just not going. And that was unusual for him to be so stubborn. He's usually a very, follows my commands, does what I need him to do, but he would just not go. And I was like, fine, whatever. We will take your right turn. And we turn right, and sure enough, there's a parking lot right there. He just
He knew where it was going, yeah.
he knew exactly where he was going, and he was like, you are just not listening.
Okay, all
Yeah.
right. You were telling me before we started recording your dog's names, and you said a lot of them are named after video games or video game characters.
Yes,
What's the story
correct.
behind that?
I grew up on video games, and I've never really cared for, like, a lot of folks will name their dogs after, like, human names, or Buddy or Smokey, or, like, I wanted something really unique, and names that you wouldn't come across with other people's animals. So I thought that video game characters would be a good way to do that.
So, grew up on video games. What is your favorite?
I'd say probably the Legend of Zelda series. I don't know if I can pick a single game, but they're that or Pokemon.
Okay, all right. And with those names, how, obviously there's probably tons and tons of video game characters or names. How do you choose those names?
Usually I get to know the dog first and kind of feel them out, and if they have similarities to a character, I will pick their name based off of that.
Okay. So on that note, Chasing the Wolves is the name of your kennel. How did you come up with that?
I thought that it would be kind of a quirky name. When I was first running my Siberians, I thought it would be kind of silly to have this idea of us chasing wolves. I heard somewhere, somehow, someone had the name Chasing Geese, and I thought that was kind of silly and quirky. And I thought, well, we're kind of like a pack of wolves, so
And it's stuck. That's
it did.
your handle on all of the socials. So that's how you're recognized. As soon as we pulled in, I told Michelle, I said, "Oh yeah, I recognize that logo and that name." And that's how we do it in Mushing. We're often recognized by our kennels and who we are by
Yeah.
that. So tell us a story about one of your races. You just talked about a training run, and I know that you've been involved with dry land and you're getting more and more involved in snow sports. But give us a quick story about one of them.
Sure. Last year I ran a couple of my first four dog classes. The first one that I did was the UP 200 Dryland Dash, and that was over in Michigan. And that race is extremely hilly and a lot of curves and twists. That was the first time they put on this dry land race. And I was really nervous because I had only run my dogs on this cart maybe three times before, and I didn't know how they would do. But I was just amazed at how they were able to go up and down these hills without issue, and put like I just put my trust in my dogs, and they did the thing.
So you had mentioned CART. What are the classes that you run in?
Right now, four dog cart and two dog bike. We did two dog scooter last year as well, but that's something that we're getting out of. It's just a lot more physical and not for me.
So people that are listening may or may not be familiar with CART racing. What type of CART do you have, and why do you choose that style?
Yeah, I started out borrowing a friend's cart. It was an older cart, three-wheeled thing, and that one was fairly heavy, like 80 pounds. Now I have a Wolf Track cart from Bruce Wolf, and I use those because they're lightweight, they're easy to steer, and indestructible.
Have you tried out or at least tested his four-wheel cart that he's got going on?
I haven't run dogs on one yet, but I hope to get one someday.
Those are sweet. I saw them at the conferences that you and I attended for
Yeah.
sure. So, next one, a little bit switching gears here. You're relatively new in Mushing. I think you said 6 years, right?
Yep.
Who do you think the most influential dog musher is in the sport now or in the past? I mean, it could go as far back as you know.
That's a good question. As someone who didn't grow up in mushing, I think a lot of the people that I know and I see are, mushing today. One kennel that I look up to a lot is Cybersong Siberian's Jay Fouché and her kennel. Her tenacity to keep going after all of her struggles is just like eye-opening.
Okay, so that is the person who Taylor wants to recognize for sure. So, where do you see the sport of dog mushing in the next 5 years and in 10? And that can be on a several different facets. It could be financial, it could be sponsorship, it could be climate, it could be space. Where do you see it in those time frames?
Yeah, I see sprint mushing really growing popular. A lot of people can't financially afford to have large kennels to do distance mushing. I have a micro kennel for that reason. As much as I would love to have 30, 40, 50 dogs, it's just not something that's feasible, especially in today's economy. And so for that reason, I think that sprint mushing is going to get more popular. I think that we see a lot of people getting into the sport, which is exciting. And a lot of people getting into the sport with off breeds, breeds outside of huskies and Euro hounds and these graysters. And I think that's really exciting too.
So before we end here, Taylor, people that are listening may or may not be very familiar with the sport of mushing, but if you could give a really strong takeaway or take-home message to somebody that's listening to you right now, what would you say to them?
I would say to just get into it. Don't let someone stop you because you have the wrong dog or you have no experience. Find a mentor and get into it and have fun.
All right. So to end here, where can people find you and what's coming up next?
Yeah, you can find me at Chasing the Wolves on just about every social media platform. And coming next, we have Chasing the Point, our podcast, that is actually having our first episode released tomorrow. And we are going to be doing monthly episodes for that. And that'll be on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
All right, and we'll put links to that all over the show notes. Taylor Squires is our guest today here on the Mushing Podcast. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. On behalf of my guest today, this is Robert for Mushing. We will talk to you guys next time. Goodbye.
Are you a fan of the great outdoors? Do you enjoy the thrill of speed and adventure? Then listen up. Introducing Mushing, your ultimate guide to the exciting world of dog-powered sports and mushing. Whether you're a seasoned musher or just starting out, Mushing has got you covered. Get ready to immerse yourself in captivating stories of incredible sled dog races, expert training tips from seasoned professionals, and gear reviews to help you make the right choices for your team. From the breathtaking landscapes of Alaska to the snowy trails of Scandinavia, Mushing takes you on a thrilling journey through the world of dog-powered sports. Don't miss out on the latest issue, packed with exclusive interviews with top mushers, in-depth articles on sled dog nutrition, and stunning photography that will transport you to the heart of the action. So whether you're dreaming of competing in the Iditarod or simply want to learn more about this incredible sport, Mushing is your go-to resource. Subscribe now and get ready to unleash your passion for mushing. Visit our website at mushing.com or find us on your favorite podcast platform. Mushing, where the spirit of adventure meets the power of the pack.